Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And so this says that He's revealed Himself from heaven, even His eternal power and Godhead is known. That's talking about Trinity. Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Did you know when I was in Vietnam, I actually got pictures of this, that outside of my brigade headquarters, there was a temple that was like 5 or 6 stories tall, and it was 3 temples built so close to each other that you couldn't even squeeze in between these temples. They were 3 separate buildings, but they were all built together, about 5 stories tall. They had trees growing out of it that had been abandoned for a long time. And I asked about them, and it predated Christianity coming to Vietnam 500 years. 500 years before Christianity reached Vietnam, these temples were there, and it was to a God who was 3 in 1. Now, am I saying that they were worshiping the true God? No, I believe that they perverted it, and it probably wasn't the true worship of God, our God, but nonetheless, it shows you that they had this concept of 3 gods in 1. I was in Mexico, and I went to Chichen Itza down there where they used to have these games, and they murdered people, and they took the people and cut their hearts out and threw them in this thing. And on this, I forgot what you call it, but anyway, it was in stone. It was a carving. There was a God who manifested Himself in 3 parts. So here's Vietnam that had that concept. Here's Mexico that had that concept. How did this happen? There's no way that the people in Vietnam influenced the people in Mexico back thousands of years to do this. It was written in our hearts. We have this intuitive knowledge of God. Everybody knows that there's only one God and you are not Him. Now you can pervert that, and the scripture talks about this, people who worship multiple gods and stuff, but that's not the way that they started out. Romans chapter 1 talks about that you can walk away from this and you can get to where you become reprobate. 1 Timothy chapter 4 talks about you can sear your conscience with a hot iron and you can get to where your conscience is not working the way that it should. But nobody started out that way. Everybody started out with a conscience that was sensitive and they knew that there was a God. They knew that they had sinned. They knew that they needed God. And that is this conscience, this knowledge of good and evil concerning your own actions. And it came to all of us through this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God intended for this to show us our need for Him. And yet people today have sat there and they're discounting this. I remember in Vietnam that there was a guy who claimed to be an atheist. And he said, I don't believe there is a God. And he was a Princeton graduate and he came into one of my Bible studies and he came in and started asking these hard questions that I didn't know how to answer his question. And anyway, he made a fool of me. And there were 7 guys in this little Bible study that I was conducting. And he got up and just made a fool of me. And he says, there isn't any God. And he says, I'm leaving. Who'll go with me? And the whole Bible study left with this atheist. But you know what? I just kept telling him. I said, look, I don't know the answer to your question, but I know that there's a God. I said, I know there is because I talked to him. I talked to him today. I said, you can't tell me he's not real. I know he is. And he said, no, there is no God. And I said, you know better than that in your heart. And I just kept talking to him. But anyway, he wouldn't listen. He left with these guys. And I was sitting there praying and saying, God, I really failed. I said, I didn't do very good. And I was saying, man, what should I have done? Give me another chance. And while I was praying, this atheist walks back in and sits down. And then he comes over to me after everybody else had left. And he says, I want what you've got. And I was shocked. I said, you do? I said, why do you want what I've got? And he says, because he was a Princeton graduate and he was a real intellectual. And he said, I just made a fool of you. I embarrassed you, humiliated you. I outtalked you. And yet you still believe. He says, you've got something that I don't have. My whole life is based on an argument. And if somebody was to out-argue me, he says, I'd kill myself. And he says, you've got something that's far more than just an argument. And so I got to lead this atheist to the Lord. And you know what the truth was? The truth was, see, in his heart, he knew that there was a God, but he had just gotten into these mind things and he had been denying it for a long time, and he had hardened himself towards the voice of his conscience. That's a dangerous thing to do. The Apostle Paul says, I always exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense. You have to exercise your conscience. You can't violate your conscience. Every time you violate your conscience, it's like when you get a callus on your hand and you work. You put a little layer of skin over it, and if you keep doing it, you can get so calloused that after a while, you can't even feel anything. I used to play a guitar 6 nights a week and lead praise and worship in my Bible studies in 3 states. And because of it, my fingers were so hardened from playing that 12-string guitar that you could take a pin. They tried to take a blood sample and prick my finger, and it bent the pin. You could not penetrate that callus. That's the way that your heart can be. Your conscience can get so hardened that after a while it's not functioning. But the truth is, down underneath, everybody knows that there's a God. In Vietnam, people would say, I'm an atheist. And then the bombs had got to drop and then the bullets flying. And all of these atheists were crying out to this God they didn't believe in. It's a mind game. It's a lie. If somebody tells you they don't believe in God, it's a lie. Stick a gun to their head and they'll go, oh God! They'll cry out to this God they don't believe in. You need to believe what the Word says, not what people are telling you. And I'm telling you, everybody has a conscience. And this conscience is like a homing device that is constantly telling them, man, you've fallen from where you should be. Your conscience is the part that condemns you. I'm going to share a lot more scriptures and go into more detail, but let me just say this. Your conscience is the part that condemns you. And there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And we have to exercise ourselves to get rid of this condemnation and take the Word of God and purge our conscience. But the conscience is the part that condemns you. And you know what? There's certain things you should be condemned over. If you're ungodly, you should be condemned. Amen. Somebody, well, I thought you was a grace preacher. I am a grace preacher. I'm saying God loves you. And God's not condemning you. If you've made Jesus your Lord, then you know what? God loves you. And He's forgiven you. But you will be condemned if you aren't seeking the Lord. It's just the function of your conscience. And I'm going to talk about this in more detail tomorrow or either Saturday. There's 2 ways to purge your conscience. One is through taking the blood of Jesus and the truth of the Word of God and purging your conscience, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, and other scriptures I'll share with you. But another way to purge your conscience is don't violate it. And it says over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, that you make your faith shipwreck if you don't have a good conscience. And there are Christians, believers, who are trying to believe God, but your own heart is condemning you. Now, sometimes you just need to take the Word of God and purge your heart from an evil conscience and stand on the fact that, man, even though I'm not the person that I'm supposed to be, that God still loves me, and you have to purge your conscience. And I'm going to talk about that and explain that in more detail how you do it. But as much as you can, you shouldn't violate your conscience. And then it says over in 1 John, Chapter 3, that if your heart doesn't condemn you, then have you confidence towards God. And once you have confidence, Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And this is one of the reasons that a lot of people aren't seeing greater manifestations of the things of God, because your own heart, your conscience, is condemning you because you constantly are violating what God tells you to do. You aren't going to prosper if you do that. Here's another scripture in Romans chapter 2, verse 15. It says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So Romans chapter 2, verse 15 describes the function of your conscience, what it does. It is the part that either accuses you or excuses you. Your conscience is the part that condemns you or the part that gives you confidence. Your conscience can actually build you up, or it can tear you down, depending on whether it's a good conscience or an evil conscience. Those are all scriptural terms for it. And many people just don't understand this, and they aren't dealing with their conscience, but your conscience, it either gives you confidence or it condemns you. It'll either make your faith shipwreck or it'll help your faith to obtain things. You've got to deal with this conscience. Amen? All of us have one. So the very first fruit of Adam and Eve's conscience, when the conscience came unto them, their perception changed. They began to see things differently than they had ever seen it before. They became self-conscious, looking at themselves. They entered into shame and they entered into fear. All of your fear, all of your shame comes from a conscience. And did you know that to a large degree, the world recognizes this? They may not call it a conscience, but they're aware of condemnation. If you get into psychology, they'll talk about guilt, shame, feelings of unworthiness. This is what leads them to say that you have to have a positive self-image. You have to have a good self-image. And I mean, we now, kids don't, you know, they don't compete and nobody wins or loses because they want everybody to feel good about themselves. You know, my granddaughter came home and she had some little award and it was, I forgot what it, do you remember the exact word? But anyway, she won this award and so my son said, what was this for? And says, well, all of us got this. There weren't any winners or losers. We were all winners. And boy, my son got that and threw it away.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the human conscience. This new teaching titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Is available as a brand new book or in a live CD album. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Ask for Who Told You That You Were Naked when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify book or CD album. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request, Who Told You That You Were Naked, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net.
Hello, this is Andrew Womack, and I just would like to encourage you to help us get the gospel out through social media. We've sent out over 42,000 ministry responses to people who have contacted us through social media. And we would just like to see this increase. So we would like to see you like our Facebook page to share it with other people. We've had 9 salvations that we know of. Of course, there could be a lot more. 13 people baptized in the Holy Spirit and many testimonies of healings and things that have happened through our live stream broadcast. So we would like to ask you to take just a few seconds to share our Facebook page, and you be a minister of the gospel by sharing this with someone else.